Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 105 for December 10th, 2019. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 45 people submitted up to five symbols each. And I put the symbol list together. If you're subscribed to my email updates, you should have gotten that about an hour ago with the symbols. So we're going to go through as many as we can of those today. And we are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And today I have I've arranged for Jake Bernstein and Jim Kenny to be here, and Jim will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Okay, thanks, David, and great to be here. I think we have an excellent show here for you because we will be reviewing the stocks that were sent in, but we're also going to get some insights from Jake Bernstein, who has a long, long history of analyzing these markets, and lately he's had some pretty good calls. So Without further ado, I'm going to let Jake introduce himself as far as a quick background and also what he's doing at his new company.
Why, thank you very much. I appreciate it. So for those of you who are not familiar with my work, I've been trading for 52 years. That's a 5 and a 2, and I'm feeling like it every day. My work is purely technical, no ifs, ands, or buts, no interpretation, strictly the rules. I will explain the rules as I go on. I've written 45 books. I have a new book out that's coming out monthly in 2 chapters a month. It's advertised on my website, jakebernstein.com, and I'm glad to take any questions you have. So let's go.
Okay. Well, we're going to analyze, we got a list of 15. We're going to go through about half of them, and then we're going to get into some of the things that Jake has been focused on. And so let's start out with the list, though. We're going to start out with one of the big guys here, Amazon, AMZN. And it's a stock that today rolled over to the downside a little bit after hitting 1750. And obviously the valuation has been a factor here because it used to be over 100 to 1 P ratio, and now it's in the 70. So while it's made money, it seems to have gotten a little bit more of a realistic valuation. Technically, what does it look like, Jake?
We need to separate what we're talking about in terms of time frame. If you're looking at the weekly chart of Amazon, which is showing on the screen right now, and comparing it to the daily chart or the monthly chart, you're going to see different things. If you're a long-term investor, clearly the stock's been in an uptrend for a long time. That has not changed. So the temporary weakness here is just that, temporary from the investor's standpoint. And I will explain the indicators as I go along. From the weekly standpoint, which is what I much prefer when it comes to stocks and futures, because we get the bigger moves, the trend has definitely turned lower. That happened, let me bring my mouse over here. That happened right over here with our two consecutive price bars below the channel and the sell trigger, which occurred on this indicator right over here. So we've been bearish since then. Resistance happens at the top of the channel and the red area. So that's the weekly clearly down, which is very disturbing for Amazon holders, especially in a market that's been as stable as this one. If you go to the daily chart, entirely different picture. And I'm not trying to get people confused. I'm just saying it depends on what time frame you're looking at. Let's go back to the daily. Sorry about that. Here's the daily. The daily is definitely bearish as well. The inability of prices to make a new high right over here. Let me put a little mark on the screen here. One moment, please. That would be right over here. The inability of prices to make... Oh, come on, computer. Cooperate with me. One moment, please. When prices were unable to make a new high in momentum, which is the green line, with a new price high, that was clearly a divergence indicator, which led to this decline. So without a doubt, short-term down, intermediate term down, long term up. So if you're an investor, you're looking for an opportunity. If you're a trader, you're short. That's my 2 cents worth right there.
Okay. It looks like pretty much a resistance zone is that 2000 area. So obviously it's had a difficult time up there. And that's one of the things that people can keep an eye on as far as a resistance level as well.
Wait a minute, Jim. Let me interrupt you. I just realized something. I am looking at the wrong chart. This is not Amazon at all. So just
yeah, I thought I saw Roku up there. Did Roku?
This is Dominion Resources.
Dominion Resources. All right, well, let's try to look at Amazon and see if...
Let's do it right. Let's do it right. Here we go. Here's Amazon coming right up. And
it may look similar.
It does look similar. This is a daily chart. Very difficult for most people to trade this because of the fact that we've been up here on these highs several times and failed. Mm-hmm. The weekly chart, on the other hand, let me go to the weekly, which is a better perspective that I much prefer. Clearly a downtrend, and the intermediate, the monthly chart, clearly an uptrend. So again, I reiterate what I said before. It's a big, beautiful bull market. It's right at long-term support, but in terms of the daily and the weekly, it's down. Now I turn it back to you.
Okay. All right. right. Well, the next one up is another big one because you don't get too much bigger than this guy. It's Microsoft, MSFT, and it's made a high at 152.50, and it's still within shouting distance of that today in the 151 area. The question is it going to have a correction? Will the board have a correction? And if it does, obviously, since this is a bellwether, it may participate if there is a correction.
Point of information, this is what my work is all about. This is one great, big, incredibly beautiful chart, monthly, weekly, and daily. There's nothing to get upset about here. It's absolutely beautiful in terms of my work. Everything's coordinating properly. No divergence, nothing but buying opportunities here for the short term, intermediate, and long term. And that's the way I see it right now.
Yeah, there's no evidence of anything other than it's a firm to hire.
Let me just say one thing in perspective. It is very difficult to be bearish on stocks at this time of the year.
Right.
From late October until early January, since 1920, stocks have been up 83% of the time. Therefore, being bearish on anything these days is inviting trouble.
Right.
You're much, much better off buying on support than you are selling at resistance.
And even if you got a short-term bump in the market, in this time frame, it tends to be temporary?
Absolutely. Just as it was right over here, where I'm going to put my crosshairs, got this temporary panic decline over here, which was a beautiful buying opportunity.
Right.
And with 2020 hindsight, we can say that, but with 2020 foresight, we try to be right.
Right. I had heard on one of the channels that the middle of December prior to Christmas can sometimes be bumpy. And then as we go into the Santa Claus thing, it picks up its steam.
Yeah, about 5 days before the 25th of December is when it starts to pick up steam again. Then around between the 11th and the 15th gets a little bit dicey. But still, if your picture is the big picture or the intermediate term, you want to get long and stay long.
Right. The next guy up here is a Shop, S-H-O-P.
Shopify.
And this is Shopify.
Let's get it on the screen. And there we go. A beautiful chart daily. And let me review what I'm talking about here. So on the top of the screen, I've got two moving averages. The red line is a 10-period moving average of the high. The lower line is an 8-period moving average of the low. So these are not closing moving averages. They are high and low moving averages. Middle of the chart, I've got momentum, 28. Bottom of the chart, the blue line is the Williams accumulation distribution, and the red line is a 57-period moving average of the blue line. So when we get across right over here, and we cross two complete bars above the top of the channel over here, so this would be our buy setup, which is then triggered over here. And we take the first buying opportunity at the bottom of the channel, and that's our short to remove right over here. Going to the daily chart, I'm sorry, the weekly chart, which is right here, similar situation. And you'll notice, even though we had two complete bars below the bottom of the channel here, that was not triggered as a sell because the blue line, Williams, did not go below its moving average. And then we go to the beautiful chart, the monthly, which remains in a great, big, beautiful trend.
And it held the green line on the way up?
Yes, it did. Held the green line perfectly on the way up. It's a beautiful place to buy at support. Obviously, it's not 100%, but it's very accurate.
Yeah. Some of these charts really have shown that the buy and hold guys are really making out like bandits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This next one is a silver one, and it's called Pan America Silver, and it has been picking up some steam lately, had a pullback, held its support at 15, and then basically it looks like it's trying to make new 52-week highs here.
I love this little stock. Let me get the chart up here. Here's the daily chart, which has turned out to be a very beautiful thing. And again, let's go through the signals. Buy setup right over here. Buy trigger right over here. First opportunity to buy bottom of the channel right over here. And it is as you said, a beautiful little chart breaking out to the upside. Here's the weekly chart also starting to the upside. And the monthly just giving us two bars above the top of the channel. So this would be a long-term buying opportunity as well. And one thing you might be interested in, silver. Let me show you something if I can switch screens. Hang on 1 second, guys and girls. I'm going to switch to a different chart. So let me know if it changes. Did it change?
Oh, yeah.
Watch this. Silver, long-term chart. So here's the silver coming right up. In fact, let me use a different symbol. One moment, please. I want to show the silver cycles as well. Here it is. This is a silver cycle, not perfect, which bottomed right over here in June of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at this little green speck right over here, which I'm going to make bigger, a very interesting indicator, which most people have no idea what it is. Commercial buying activity, COT commercials. This is the first time in the history of silver that commercials have actually been long the silver market, net long the silver market. Very revealing, very important, especially when you look at the fact that platinum, palladium, copper, and silver all showed the same commercial buying at about the same time, and they've all taken off. So that's the silver, and then that's Pan Am Silver.
And the central banks have been picking up the gold quite a bit, huh?
They have, and here's the gold chart, as long as we're here.
Yeah. And this thing's making new highs, which silver has not been making new highs. So that's kind of an interesting dichotomy.
Let me get the right chart on here. One moment, please. Oh, come on. Computer, cooperate with me. One moment, please. You know, we're good, but we're not perfect. Mm. We still haven't mastered the keyboard here. Mm. There we go. Silver cycle. Check this out. Let me bring it into proper view. This is the gold chart. Right here at the bottom, commercials come into the market as buyers, and they're still long the market. And the cycle, monthly, right over here. Let's go to the quarterly for the very big picture. And suck the chart in a little bit, and there's your gold cycles. So, want to move on to the next one, Jim?
Yeah. On the gold cycles, you know, what is it telling you as far as time frames and potential levels?
Because the cycles are not symmetrical, we can't say with confidence that this would be the midpoint of the cycle. That would be the top. I have a indicator called spike resistance. I go to the highest high we have on the chart. I take the low of that bar, which is right over here, and we usually come back up and hit that high. So right now we have hit that high and it penetrated that spike resistance high, which says new all-time highs in gold over the next year.
All right, let's turn over to the next stock, Roku, R-O-K-U. This thing's been all over the place. It went up to 180, back down to 100, back up to 160. Now it's at 147.
Let me bring it up on the screen.
If you like volatility, this one will give you some volatility. Huh?
It sure will. And there's another one I want to mention later when we look at some of our own picks. Hold on one second, please. And we're going to go to Roku. And I like the Roku. It works really well on my TV.
Yeah.
Here's the Roku coming right up. And the daily chart. A lot of opportunities. The weekly chart is the most stable. And that is right here. And that's our weekly chart. Still in an uptrend. I see no divergence here. No negative divergence. I don't see a top here. A lot of people will look at this bar right over here and say this was really scary, but we managed to overcome that scariness. And so we're back in an uptrend.
Yeah, the moving averages when it was up at 180 were down in the 100 area. So it really came down and took off the excess down to the moving averages. And then after that, it's been back to the upside.
Correct. As long as we're here, can I digress for just a moment?
Sure.
I don't know if people have been trading this stock, but you might want to look at this one. CRISPR, CRSP. Definitely a great trading stock. Can be all over the place, but it gives some big, beautiful opportunities. Follows the rules perfectly. And again, that's the weekly. The daily has been very dynamic as well.
Yeah, there was another one that I was watching in therapeutics, ALLO, that I thought was interesting as well. And it had been going pretty good. These therapeutic stocks, I mean, they've definitely been jumping around. There's no doubt about it.
You're either going to make it bigger, or you're going to be very unhappy with a 50% decline overnight.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the live by the sword, die by the sword type of sector it is anyway.
Exactly.
All right. Well, the next one on the list here is going to be AMD. And obviously, that's a very heavily traded stock. And that's 33 million shares today. So I would say a few people are playing this one. 39.44 is up on the day.
Yep.
And it's teetering around its high point like most of these semis are. And what are you thinking here?
Beautiful chart, beautiful stock. I don't see any negative divergence here. I see a strong recovery when it opened below the channel right over here, which is usually a great buying opportunity in an uptrend. So very bullish still. In fact, again, I would say I would not want to be short or long or short or against the trend
right.
in too many stocks this time of the year because I'd be bucking the trend and I hate to do that.
Yeah. Even though someone might say it is starting to look like it could have a correction, the fact that it looks like it could and it hasn't is far between. I know you look at everything technically, but there's no secret. We got the Fed meeting and we got the potential for tariffs. If things go sideways on those two items, is it possible that might be the shot heard around the world, at least on a short-term basis?
Sure, because 83% is not 100%. So there's always that little chance that it's going to get a little volatile and scare a lot of people out. But right now, the force of the market is still a Teflon market, as they say, because nothing seems to stick in a negative way. And I kind of want to see the bad news come out and get it out of the way.
Yeah, and then start 2020 from a platform or from a base that it can really spring from.
Right. Can I show one more thing, Jim?
Sure.
Moves that begin with five consecutive bars entirely atop of the channel are very bullish moves. So when I talk about five bars over here, I've got them highlighted in blue. So these five consecutive bars, none of them touched the top of the channel. Usually when a move begins this way, it will expand its range and give us a target which is equal to the range of the five bars. So even if the five bars occur right over here, if we measure these bars from high to low and add it to the last bar, we will get our profit target. It's a very reliable little indicator. I love that indicator.
Absolutely. That's good. Well, the next guy up is the one everybody loves to love, and that's Apple. And that's gone on a big run here this year. 52-week low was 142 up to 271. And it's flirting with that high. It's up today. But again, very similar to Advanced Micro and a bunch of other stocks. You know, they're teetering around their high, and we'll probably have a better idea after Sunday what they want to do with these numbers.
Yeah, still a bull market. One thing to be careful of is this. When the channel becomes narrow, it tends to precede a correction down. When the channel becomes wide, which I call the horn of plenty, and then becomes narrow, you hit a buying opportunity. So for example, channel becomes wide, channel becomes narrow, buying opportunity. Channel becomes wide, channel becomes narrow, buying opportunity. It's not completely objective, but it is a good indicator to look at. So the narrowness of the channel right now does not speak very well to the bullish argument, but you can't fight the trend. We've been long Apple for about 6 months now, and we're still long the market.
Right. You know, one of the problems, or not problems, one of the concerns I have is obviously the 200-day moving average being about 30% underneath the current level on a trillion-dollar company. You know, you got a huge company, and you've got a pretty good distance between the 200-day and the current price. So that might be one of the reasons why we're getting a little bit of the technicals, kind of the two lines getting together, and maybe predicting that there could be a little volatility. Ahead.
A little concerning to me is the fact that some of the major brokerage houses in the last couple of weeks have come out with a $300 target on Apple, which I don't like. I don't like to see that kind of bullish talk.
The unanimity of opinion.
Yeah.
Well, you
know, these are guys who wanted to sell the stock 100 lower.
Yeah, exactly. So they could be jumping on a little bit late in the game. Again, the 200-day average is showing a lot of distance between current price and it. So we'll have to see how things pan out. But again, this is a company that you just can't keep down very long. And it has been obviously resilient to many things. This next guy up here is Disney. And Disney obviously has had a big year this year. They got all these different sign-up programs going and this kind of thing. And it's 146. The high has been 153. So are we looking at just a pullback here, or there could be a more significant rollover? What do you think?
Short-term, it's turned still bullish short-term. Yeah. I would be a buyer at weekly support, which is down at 138. Fairly good chance it's going to get there.
Yeah, you got a gap. Even a little bit lower than that might be attractive if some selling came in. A lot of these things look like it's just going to be part of the board. If the S&P is going to take out 3150 and go to 3200, there's going to be no sale. And if it starts taking out the other way, 3070, you know, then obviously a lot of this stuff could be part of the dip.
Right. And then you've got CrowdStrike, which I'm putting on the screen right now. Not too much history there. So we've got to go to the daily. Come on, computer, cooperate with me, please. Hang on 1 second, Jim. There we go. There's CrowdStrike.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the methodologies, clearly a bearish market, no doubt about it. So the next opportunity would be from the buy side, and I'll tell you why I think so. Because remember, you've got a very bullish divergence going on here. In other words, momentum keeps going up, prices keep going down, and that's a classic divergence. Watch for a bottom on CrowdStrike.
And it's certainly been aired out. The thing used to be about 100 and now it's half price, so certainly been aired out on the downside.
You bet.
Let's take a quick break here from the stocks, and let's talk a little bit about some things that you're focused on. Again, as I said before the broadcast, you should wear your Nike sneakers because there's a couple of victory laps for you. We both have been in the business for decades, so we're not always right. But when we are right, you know, we are allowed to admit it. So in October, you know, you were thinking that there would be a very volatile move to the upside in the S&P, and certainly we saw that. And then in some of the commodities, you were looking for some good size moves in the softs like coffee and sugar, and we definitely have seen some of that. So, you know, we're here now at the all-time high pretty much on stocks. We're coming in front of a Fed meeting and possible tariffs, and people are probably out there trying to figure out what are you seeing as far as seasonally technically in some of these markets right now.
Let me come back to the S&P in just a little while because I wanted to show the coffee chart.
Sure.
A lot of traders find coffee to be pretty boring, and let's face it, there's no sex appeal to trading coffee, but it's a beautiful market in terms of its ability to move with commercial activity. In other words, there are very few commercials in the coffee market. Coca-Cola, Starbucks, Pete's Coffee, and so forth. They're the ones that basically run the market. So even though the cycles are not perfect, we know for a fact that commercial buying activity precedes big moves. What do I mean by big move? This move in coffee from over here at approximately, let's take a look at it, approximately 88 to where we're now 133 is a 50-cent move, or approximately $21,000 for every futures contract margined at $1,500. So it's a huge move. If you take a look at the history of coffee and many of the softs, you'll find that commercials have never ever been wrong. They may have been early, for example, buying over here, buying over here, buying over here. But now, the largest and most extensive long-lasting buying by commercials in the history of coffee, which usually precedes record moves to the upside. So coffee on the monthly chart is really beautiful. On the daily chart, it looks like this.
Yeah, it had a great move. Great move. So
had a great move. Yeah. And there's more coming. So let's go to the S&P. One moment, please. S&P, and let's go to the cycles. Wrong chart. One moment, please. Try it again. There we go. So here's the S&P. And you'll notice before this big record-breaking move, the heaviest commercial buying activity in the history of the S&P market. So it's clear banks, sovereign wealth funds, hedge funds were all buyers to a big extent, which predicted the biggest move in history. Now that buying resurfaced again here before this big move up, but now they pretty well pulled the plug on new buying. So it's likely that we're not going to continue much higher in terms of the commitment of traders. But if they start buying again, look out below, look out above, because it's going to go crazy on the upside. Let me show one more indicator.
You're guessing seasonally. When would that possibly be? You think maybe on a pullback they would then be more aggressive, or do you think it will be a buy strength deal, or is it hard to predict?
I think it'll be a buy strength deal because they're gonna have that FOMO, fear of missing out opportunity. Mm-hmm. A lot of them that are clients of mine have not really taken any action. They've been afraid. But one of the things that we want to look at that's really significant is down here, and that's small trader sentiment. Even though it's not a perfect indicator, you'll notice when a small trader gets very negative, it correlates to bottoms. Mm-hmm. And the small trader gets very bullish, correlates to tops, to the leading indicator. So where's the small trader now? Small trader is not bullish enough to give us a top, not bearish enough to give us a bottom. So the small trader is in kind of never land right now. Mm-hmm. But the cycle remains bullish, and it hasn't been a perfect cycle, but it's been very predictable.
Yeah, overall, generally speaking, it's been going pretty much as you would think.
Correct. Another one that we've been looking at is this one. Hold on, let me bring it up here. Soybean oil, mm-hmm. which very few people trade, but still a wonderful market for someone who's just getting started trading futures. Come on, computer. There we go. And let's go to the big picture quarterly chart and spread it out so we can see it a little bit better. One moment, please. There we go. So here's that soybean oil cycle. Again, not perfect, but again, we see the same pattern repeatedly, Jim, and that is commercial buying activity as a leading indicator of upside moves. So those are just a few of the ones that we've been looking at.
Where does the commitment of traders seem to be telling us that they're buying? In the April-May timeframe?
Oh, yeah, right over here. They started buying in August of last year.
Okay.
They resurged with their buying in April. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
And so the way we use COT.
You use that as like an accumulation strategy by the commercial? You
hit the nail right on the head. It's a leading indicator. They accumulate on the way down because they use the stuff. They buy the stuff because they're going to take delivery and use it, which is very different than what most people do. So their specific purpose for being in the market is as a buy hedge. And that's when we have a great. In fact, let me show you. Let me switch. Here's a good one. Check this out. Most people will have no interest in this, but it's an interesting story about it. Here we go. Okay, check this out. So here we have a situation similar to coffee as it was a year ago. What's that situation? Cyclical low, very negative small trader, and the biggest commercial buying in history. What market? Believe it or not, orange juice. Mm. So there are very few big commercials in orange juice. One of them is Coca-Cola because they own Minute Maid. But a lot of people are unfamiliar with the fundamentals, which are very simple. There is a disease in the orange groves, and about 30% of the oranges in Florida have been wiped out. And commercials know this before anybody else does. So they're buying their OJ right now so they don't have to worry about it when it goes crazy to the upside. So watch this one.
And that hasn't really moved yet. Yeah.
No, it hasn't even started. It's just the very beginning stages. And the thing about OJ, even though it's a terrible market to trade because of poor liquidity, when it moves, it doesn't give you a chance to get in. You either get in right away or you're going to miss the whole move because it makes big moves. And you can see.
It looks like a spiky type deal. Yeah,
yeah, it is very similar.
On both ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It takes no prisoners.
Yeah. How does the commercials look in the actual soybeans, because everyone's hearing about this phase one and everybody's thinking about all this buying and from China going to be happening and maybe opening up their markets, blah blah blah.
Here's
what are
the
commercials doing on that? Yeah,
here's the beans. Let me spread it out for you. In fact, let me make it a lot bigger, like so let's answer the question. Commercial activity in the beans, bullish. They've rarely been wrong, even for small moves. Example, they're buying here before the up move. They're buying here before the small up move. They're buying here before the up move. And again, accumulating over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
One good way to participate is to ask the question, who stands to benefit from these low prices? Who are these commercials? Archer Daniels Midland, the Andersons, ANDE, Bungie Grain, BG, and a few others. They're the ones that are going to make the big money. So ADM is on my list of stocks to watch for buy opportunities.
Because if there was a turn in this, there could be a benefit to them.
Oh, they're going to make big bucks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, their job is to screw the farmer. And so they keep doing the same thing. They take the product in from the farmer, pay them a certain amount for that product, and then go and hedge it on the board at 5 cents higher. So they're locking their money all the way up.
How's the commitment trader looking in these metals? Because, you know, there are some people who are losing their enthusiasm for them because they've faded. But, yeah, when you get way overbought, fading is what it does. And then basically, if it gets reinvigorated, the fading is what you're supposed to be looking at a buying opportunity, right?
Here is the ultimate metal for the COT right over here. That would be
your copper.
Copper.
Yeah.
So people say, hey, commercials are not buying copper anymore. That just ain't true. We have got the largest commercial buying in history right over here. And who is that commercial? China. So you may want to say, hey, copper is no good, but the bottom line is it may not have the same sex appeal as gold and silver do, but it's a beautiful market, and in the last couple of days it has taken off like crazy. Let me show you something.
Yeah, China's going around the world redeveloping in Africa, in Europe, and obviously they're going to need materials to do that redevelopment, and obviously that might be where the demand for the copper is coming.
Let me show you guys something. I'm going to go to the moving average channel chart, and I'm going to bring up a copper mining stock, BHP. Here is the BHP chart daily. Here's the BHP chart weekly. So it's been slow and steady grind all the way up, but here's the most important thing. Check this out. The dividend yield on BHP, coming right up my computer, don't embarrass me. The dividend yield on BHP is 8.9%. That's a heck of a deal. So it's a dual purpose investment. Now the reason the dividend's so high is because there's some political risk here, because those foreign governments have had a history of appropriating copper mines. But if you want to take a little bit of risk with the added opportunity to make money as the price of the underlying commodity goes up, that's one to definitely look at.
Is it an Australian company, or?
I believe BHP is, and then there's Rio Tinto, which is South American, if I'm not mistaken.
South American.
Maybe, okay. Or maybe Filipino.
I got you. You have to look into that. But yeah, that's something that would benefit from the copper.
Absolutely. So with Southern Peru Copper, SCCO, Rio Tinto, RIO, COPX, which is a copper ETF, and FCX, Freeport-McMoRan, which is a domestic producer, and Canadian, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, one of the indexes that is starting to get legs that was lagging, and is still well underneath its all-time high, but because of financials and biotechs kicking in, it has broken above some resistance. It's the Russell. So could we look at the Russell and get an idea of, is this a real breakout above 1600, and are we going to continue up, or is this a situation of...
Which Russell symbol do you want?
Russell 2000. Russell 2000, I think it's RUT, but I don't know what symbol on yours is.
It's RUT. Well, hold on a moment, please.
A lot of people are making a lot of the Russell 5000 versus GDP is indicating overvaluation, and they're slapping Warren Buffett's name to that analysis.
One moment, please. Computer's not cooperating with me.
Whether that's accurate or not, who knows?
Hold on, please. Don't go away.
And this is primarily a domestic stock situation where these are mostly domestic. Yeah.
So here is the Russell. Weekly, clearly undervalued, and that's the futures.
Yeah.
Here's the daily. So a lot of people will point to that double top and say there's a problem, but the bottom line is it's still an intermediate term bull market. I like to look at the big picture, and that big picture has given us a buying opportunity as well.
Yeah. Again, if the board's going higher, then obviously the Russell's trying to jump in as well.
Exactly.
We've got a Fed week this week, and so obviously some people might have an interest in what the 10-year Treasury note is telling us, because it went way down to 140, snapped back towards 2, now it's at about 180. And is the technicals telling us anything as far as the way it could bend?
We're looking at the futures, which goes opposite of cash.
Right.
So let me bring it up. One moment, please.
Yeah, higher prices means lower yield.
Right. So come on, computer. So there's the 10-year note in a daily downtrend. In a weekly... Hold on a second, please. Let me change the chart. Okay, let's try this.
Yeah, the continuous. Yeah.
Yeah. So the continuous on the Treasury notes on the weekly has just turned bearish. But previous to that, we've been looking at lower rates.
Mm-hmm. So I've been watching this TLT, which is a proxy for the 20-year.
Right. TLT is a good trading stock.
Yeah.
Here's the TLT. Very similar.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. Sorry. Wrong chart. Here we go. There's the TLT.
Yeah. So you would really need a little bit more weakness to really make a statement that the yields might go back towards 2 or better on the 10-year.
Correct.
Yeah.
The chart you really want to look at in terms of technicals is the Euro-Dollar interest rate futures chart, by which I mean, let me show you.
That was flatlining for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. But now, a beautiful chart. chart. So theoretically, the highest we can go is 100. But the bottom line is this thing's been in a bull market since March of last year, this year, and continues to be a buying opportunity every time it comes down to the bottom of the channel.
Well, the Fed is adding $60 billion right. a month in the short end. So they're obviously trying to keep money market rates very low. And obviously that flushes people out to spend their money on things.
Exactly.
And that's a pretty obvious tactic. With regards to on the gold, did we think that there was a pullback? Is there anything technically that's, you know, my feeling has been 1450, 1400, 1350, nice round numbers for support levels. And we did hit the 1450 and it held, but, you know, you can't take any of the other numbers off the table just yet. I don't know.
Here's what I think. If you're an investor,
yeah,
trading the monthly chart,
yeah,
the monthly chart has support at approximately 1402 on the futures.
Right.
The weekly is at support right now. So again, it's a question of whether you want to take a short-term risk and buy it immediately, or dollar cost average in ingots and coins, or you want to trade futures for the longer term. The problem with trading futures for the longer term is you have to keep on rolling the darn thing.
And the contango eats you alive a little bit.
Absolutely, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
The one market that's been absolutely beautiful is this one. And we were in this one for a long time, palladium. Unfortunately, the thing can move $10,000 in one day. So it's not right for the temperament of most people. But here's the weekly palladium chart, the monthly chart, a thing of great beauty. Never missed a move since the bottom in 2016. And so here we got palladium making new all-time highs while the other metals are struggling. But I think the metal that I have much preference for is platinum, which has lost a lot of... Have you looked at the platinum gold spread lately?
No, but I know it was at $500-$600. Where is it at now?
Check this out. We'll put it on the screen.
Obviously, as you know, and everybody who doesn't know should know, that used to be a premium metal to gold for decades, if not centuries, probably.
You know your stuff.
Yeah.
So let's put it on the screen here for a moment. One moment, please.
Well, they used to say it's 10 times rarer than gold. So there goes your reasoning on why it would be more expensive.
Exactly. Let me change the symbol here. Computer's a little bit slow today. Doesn't want to cooperate with me. Well, we'll just let it be. Let's. Well, here we go. Let's put it this way. As you so correctly stated, we're going to put palladium over here. I'm sorry, platinum right over here. And we're going to change the spread relationship here. It's a very dramatic chart. Otherwise, I wouldn't take the time to show it.
Mm.
Let's try it one more time. PL2057. And that's platinum. And let's add the gold to the chart. Sorry it's so slow today.
No, but this relationship is of a historic differential now. So it is an interesting chart to keep an eye on.
Yeah, very true. Oh, one more little step to take here and we'll be ready. GC2057. And we'll display the chart. Here we go. Okay, here we go. Big picture. It's coming. It'll get there. Just give it a moment.
And this will be an overlay of the gold against the platinum, correct?
Platinum versus gold.
Yeah, okay.
There we go. So as you so correctly stated, back here in 2007, 2008, platinum was at an $1,100 premium to gold. It is now at a $540 discount to gold. Truly amazing situation.
And in your view, unsustainable?
Absolutely unsustainable. And we have a classic situation developing here where we have momentum going higher, price going lower. We're just waiting for a trigger. But I've already advised people to start accumulating platinum for the longer term. I wouldn't be short gold long platinum as a spread. It's too expensive to do that. It ties up too much money.
And but different size contracts and things like that.
You got it. $50 versus $100. You're absolutely right. But let's Jake,
I did want to jump into two things before we run out of time.
Sure.
Because I think people have an interest in it. One would be crude oil. Is there something happening there that looks like an opportunity? Because we have seen some of the energy stocks turn. The price of crude is in the 59s, not in the 55s. What is the commercials and what other technicals can you throw at us on the crude?
Here's the thing that's interesting. There's been no commercial buying activity in crude. They're just not interested.
Huh, okay.
So in terms of getting support from commercials on crude, it's not happening. However, I will say this. Seasonally, most of the gold stocks at this time of the year show very strong, I'm sorry, not gold, energy stocks show strong movements to the upside. So let me bring up, sorry about that. What am I doing here? Okay, so let's do this. Let's go to the crude and look at the big picture. Here's a crude chart and you can see what's happened. The last time commercials had any interest in crude at all was back here in the 2000, early 2000, 2005. But since then, there's been zero commercial buying activity, none whatsoever.
Mm.
So I think the upside potential of crude, barring some sort of an international geopolitical event, the upside potential is limited on the bigger picture.
Yeah, and it could be a short-term manipulation on the Aramco deal coming to market. You don't know what that's all about either.
I do have let me say one more thing.
Sure.
I do have some seasonal work on Murphy Oil. oil,
okay,
which we're looking to buy in the next couple of days. I'll put it up on the screen.
What's that, MO? Is this symbol?
MUR.
MUR, okay.
Here's Murphy Oil. We're going to go to the daily chart, and there's the daily. So it's already in an uptrend. If I can get an opportunity to buy it around 23 to 24 bucks a share, I will do that.
Yeah. It looks like if it blew out the 26 number, you'd really be on a momentum deal at that point.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, like I say, there's other ones that have been on the bicycle lately. I don't know if they'll stay on it or not, but the Halliburtons, the Schlumbergers, and the like, they've been doing pretty good.
And Peloton's been on the bicycle too, Jim.
Exactly. Right. Now, here's the thing this is my personal one that I'm very interested in, because I think it's going to have a major effect on how things work next year in 2020. Let's look at the dollar. DXY is the dollar index, or I don't know what the future one is called.
Are you talking dollar up or dollar down?
Yeah, dollar, DXY. Well, like I say, it's the range has been 99 and 95, and it's at 97. So it's the monkey in the middle, and the monkey's in the middle.
Here's
so,
the DXY coming right up.
Yeah. There are some who believe that the dollar will roll over next year and have a major effect on the markets. And obviously, there's others who don't believe that. So how are the technicals and the commitment of traders and things like that telling us on the dollar index?
There is no commercial buying in the dollar. There's commercial buying in all the currencies except the U.S. dollar. In fact, the Kiwi dollar is one of the strongest, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And let me show you this. I prefer to trade the dollar with the symbol DDU if I think the dollar is going up. Let me put it up on the screen. I'm sorry, UUP. Sorry about that. Dollar up. Oh, come on, computer.
So that's the Invesco dollar index?
Yeah. PowerShares dollar index for the dollar going up right over here. And then UDN for the dollar going down. So you can be long either way and not have to be short. So that's the dollar going down, dollar going up. Got it?
Yeah. But with regards to, since it's, in some of these things like the DXY, it's right in the middle. It's hard to really get too much out of the technicals at this point.
Except for the COT. Let me show you something.
Commitment of traders is not showing much activity. I would imagine they're buying the heck out of the pound. Are they doing buying the heck out of the pound in front of Brexit?
You hit the nut. You are good. You are really good. Let's go do it and take a look, okay? Yeah, that's been one of my picks is the British pound against the U.S. dollar. So this is quite revealing. In fact, let me show it to you. G6B.
Because it looks like this guy's going to get elected, and it looks like he's going to do something by the end of January.
Whatever it is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Here's the British pound, and check it out. Look at those waves of commercial buying activity.
Yeah.
And they've been right every time, even for small moves. Almost every time they've been right. So that's the dollar.
This is a currency that I'm sure you're well aware used to be in the 2 to 250 area during your career.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when it comes down to 120, that's a pretty darn big discount.
Bet. And let me show this one as long as we're here. The Kiwi dollar right over here.
Beautiful country. Can't beat that.
Just don't get near a volcano, Jim.
No.
Largest
golf courses, that's what you want to do.
That's for sure. Largest commercial buying in history right over there. So again, we're talking big picture, long term, but it's definitely there.
Yeah, and the Kiwi, it hasn't moved just yet, so there's still some opportunity if these guys are going to be correct. So
just speaking, definitely need an eye on that. You bet. Yeah. What else should we look at today, Jim?
All right, yeah, let's hit up a couple more so people aren't complaining we didn't hit their list. next one is going to be called Tesla, and we all know that's a lovely story.
Yeah, I love the car, and I love the stock. Let me go to the Tesla stock.
Up nine today. I guess the jury verdict favorable to old Mr. Elon Musk is favorable for the stock.
You bet. Let's check it out. Again, here's Tesla. And this would be the monthly chart. Let's go to the weekly chart for the investors. Definitely in an uptrend. And the daily coming back to its recent highs. So, and I ordered my Tesla truck last week.
Well, you like the design, huh?
I like the idea. I like the way they advertised it. I like the fake window breaking routine.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
It's a classic. But, I've had three Teslas and they've all been great cars. Never a problem.
Yeah. All right, let's jump over to Bristol Myers Squibb because that's the one that has really been on a little bit of a run since summertime. Broke above 50 and it hasn't looked back. It's at 60.
So here's BMY.
Yep, BMY.
Absolutely beautiful. And it continues in an uptrend, no problem at all.
Yeah, and it seems like it's part of a sector, that healthcare sector that seems to be catching a very good bid here.
And again, I want to stress this one thing about my work, Jim.
Yeah.
Anytime you move to a higher time frame, like the weekly, which is what we're looking at right now,
right,
you're going to get a lot more stability. People love the daily charts. They love the weekly charts. They love the daily charts. They love to trade. But the real money is made in the big move. And the big move happens on the weekly charts where my work has its greatest consistency.
I got you. The other ones are either maybe a lagger because it's monthly, and the other one one might be too sensitive because it's a daily.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's turn over to something that could be very China related, and let's talk about Wynn. I'm here in Nevada, so I'm no stranger to the Wynn. And basically, it's at about $120. And again, it is something that is obviously related to Macau.
And you can see the indecision in Macau by the indecision of the chart.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Hong Kong is all upside down a little bit, so that could be affecting it as well.
No doubt. There's a lot of geopolitical stuff going on over there. But again, if you want to get rid of a lot of that and say, I'm a long-term investor, simply move up one time frame on the chart, which would be the monthly, and ask the question, what has been the last trigger on the monthly? And that last trigger right over here, sell resistance. So again, still in a downtrend on the longer term, and I wouldn't touch this one on the long side unless I got something definite in the way of a buy trigger.
Yeah. And, you know, Steve Wynn leaving the company, I don't think has been a positive by any means. And you can tell that from the local hotel here, the spirit in it and the vibe in it is just totally different now that he's not there.
True.
In my view, my opinion. PayPal is obviously a money processor, and Visa's been doing great. And these guys got whacked pretty good, going from 120 down to about 100. And now they're at 103. So is this thing losing its luster, or is it a situation where it'll get back on the bicycle?
The long-term chart at support. The weekly chart in a sell, close to a sell mode. The daily chart been all over the place. So again, the question is, will it hold at monthly support? I think it's worth a shot because nothing has changed in terms of the big picture.
And it's always going to be a potential takeout situation if one of the larger guys want to have this type of exposure with the generation, whatever, that is constantly using PayPal.
Generation Z?
That's it. That's all right. Well, this guy here is certainly coming out with all the content you never asked for, but they keep bringing it out, and they're spending money hand over fist getting that content to you. So the question is the situation getting crowded in this streaming videos and streaming movies, et cetera?
Which one you want to look at? Netflix?
Netflix, yeah.
Hold on.
So, you know, when Disney came out with their thing and Apple came out with their thing, you know, obviously people started to fade Netflix a little bit because they think they're spending too much money on content and they're not going to be able to get it back. And today was down 9 points. So obviously those are the people winning today. But what's it really telling us here, technically?
By the bottom of the channel, support weekly, which is right over here. And that's coming right up. So between now and the end of the year, I wouldn't want to be short. I'd look for a place to buy it, but don't expect much.
Yeah, I think the dynamic of the company has changed a bit because of the additional players coming into their sandbox.
A lot of competition now.
Yeah. Jake, we're coming up to the top of the hour. Anything for 2020 on a macro thing that you're thinking about? If you're talking about stocks, sectors in the stocks or sectors in the commodities that you think would be ones to keep an eye on for 2020?
As you said, I like the softs. I like the agricultural commodities. I like natural gas somewhere down the road. But I think the big thing's going to be over the next year into late next year will be the resurgence of inflation. So I think people have to protect themselves. Start accumulating positions in the metals, getting some protection here. It's been way too easy to make money. Mm-hmm. There are days we're making 4 or 5 figures a day,
right,
without even trying, and it can't go on.
That's
like
not
that.
The norm.
Yeah. No, definitely not the norm.
Things that don't make sense don't last. That's the whole thing, right?
That's
and this inflation, you know, when you talk about sentiment, the people are saying there is no inflation, there never will be any inflation, and we're going to price these debt instruments at negative interest rates, and we're going to price everything at absolutely no consideration for inflation. And when you get that kind of pounding of the drum, you have to at least look at the other side of the fence and see what's going on in that yard. You know what I mean?
Drew, one more thing I want to add to the mix here, Jim. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time when you turn on CNBC and the guys and girls on CNBC were commentators. Mm-hmm. They read the script that was given to them. Now, in the last couple of years, they become experts.
Yeah.
So now they're telling you what to buy and sell. They're financial wizards now. It's a little bit disturbing to me. I've been on CNBC many times. Right. I know how the show works. They're great. Great people. Some of them are really fantastic analysts, but you got to be careful when you turn your TV on and you get advice from your TV every day.
Yeah, that's for sure, because it's very much in the moment, and they don't sometimes give enough weight to the fact that this is going on now, but it's possible in the future things will change.
Yeah, they'll come back and they'll say, we told you to buy Apple when it was at 270. Never mind that it went down to 220 first.
They have selective memory is what you're saying. I got you.
Exactly.
Well, as we come to the top of the hour, Jake, you know, again, people who are out there trading, you know, you're focusing a lot on the commitment of traders and commercial data, which obviously in some markets is very important. You obviously are focused on the seasonals, which can be very, very important. And also you're made a lifetime of figuring out the technicals. So you bring an awful lot to the table, educationally wise and otherwise. So just a quick, introduction again to the crowd. And also, how do they get a hold of you?
JakeBernstein.com.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your excellent questions and always fantastic market insights. You really know your stuff.
Well, I appreciate that, Jake. And again, I've been doing this for many, many years. Nobody is right all the time, but people do put big effort in, and they have certainly their success stories. So I think it's very worthwhile for people to look into what Jake's doing, and then they can determine exactly how it could or could not fit into their plans. But certainly the information he brings to the table is not on everyone's list. And so he has some very unique ways of looking at the markets and following the markets. And from that aspect alone, it's worth investigation. So do check in with Jake. And again, it's been a pleasure and an honor to be with you, Jake. I'm going to turn it back over to David and let him close out the show. And thanks a lot for being here, Jake.
My pleasure. I'm honored.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great discussion. So just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this show as soon as I can post it. And any of the past shows are available there as well. So just want to thank my guests again for today, Jake Bernstein of jakebernstein.com and trade-futures.com and Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, David. Take care.